Acts chapter 26, verse 27 through 32. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do, Agrippa replied to Paul. In a short time, you will persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would wish it to God that whether in a short time or a long time, not only you, but all who hear me this day might become such as I, except for these chains. He means a believer, except for the chains. The king stood up and the governor, Bernice, and those who were sitting with them, and when they had gone aside, they began talking to one another, saying, this man has done nothing worthy of death or imprisonment. And King Agrippa said to Festus, this man would have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Dynamic Christians work to see others believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. Dynamic Christians work to see others believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, Paul is before him because of these false charges some of the Jews have brought against him. And Paul has appealed to Caesar. We'll get to that in a minute. Paul was a Roman citizen. We sometimes say, well, big deal. Wasn't everybody in the Roman Empire citizens? No, about 5% of the population were Roman citizens, 5%. And it was important because they had certain others didn't. A citizen, you didn't have all the rights a citizen had. And Paul was a citizen. And so he appealed to Caesar when he was first in prison and he saw he was going to go before the king. King Agrippa is a king, but he doesn't really have that much power. He is a puppet king of the Roman Empire. He's put on the throne by the Roman Empire. He doesn't have a lot of power. And if he goes against Rome too strongly, he will be removed. So he has limited power. And Festus and others are there, and Paul is talking to him, and Paul says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? And Paul answers for him, I know you do, because Agrippa is a Jew too. And Paul brings the subject up because the prophets foretold of Jesus Christ coming, the Messiah. And all good Jews were expecting the Messiah to come. They just didn't know when to come. And some believed Jesus was the Messiah and some didn't. Just as some believe today Jesus is the Savior and some don't. Some haven't yet believed. And we, the church, all of us worked to see others believe in Jesus Christ as Savior because we believe. The primary first step of a disciple of Christ is becoming a believer. You have to be a believer in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life before you can be a disciple. You can't disciple somebody that's not a believer. And once they believe, they can become a disciple. We'll try to get rid of that ringing, the we being Jonathan and them at the back. But to be a disciple. Why is this so important? Well, it was the mission given to the church. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, some of the last words Jesus shared when he was on the planet Earth before he went into heaven to stay until he comes again, he said, all power and authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now, I want you to think about that statement Jesus made there. All power and authority in heaven and earth. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but if you got all power and authority in heaven and earth, you got it. You in charge. Who was it given to him by? God the Father gave Jesus the power. And with this power, once this statement of power, that he has the ultimate power, Jesus said, therefore go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that I have taught you, and lo, I am with you to the end of the age, end of time. Time is a human construct. We invented time. If you're an eternal God, does time mean anything to you? No. We sit around and worry about time. This preacher's taking too long. I need to be eating breakfast again or brunch. He's taking way too long. Time is a human construct. It means nothing to God. And he said, teach them to observe all that I have taught you. That's discipleship. And that's what we call the Great Commission in the church. And all church members are to work to make disciples. This week, some of you got an email. It's about a change that the MAT team, which is The mission action team proposed to the council, and the council accepted the recommendation, and the recommendation says, we're going to format what we do at this time period, this 10 o'clock time slot here in here, starting in January. Why are we doing that? Well, the email, and we got copies of the email out at the welcome desk after the service. You can read it, but I'm going to cover some of it, is that we recognize, the Matt team and other leaders of the church recognize, we weren't doing the best job of discipleship. And we want to do a better job of discipleship. So at 10 o'clock, if you like 10 o'clock hour and want to come to the 10 o'clock hour, it's still going to be here. It's just going to look a little different than it does today. And we start that in January. That'll be Sunday, January the 8th. And what's that difference going to be? We're going to have a central teacher teach for about 20 minutes, and then you can break off in groups, and there's some questions that will be up here for you to answer together about what was taught, and then for about 5 minutes we'll have some prayer and all. And if you missed worship, then you can come to the 8:45 service. Or if you don't like getting up early, you can come to the 11 o'clock worship service. Are we doing this because we don't like y'all? No. We're doing it because we're not doing the best job of discipleship, and we want to do a better job of discipleship. And this will be a non-traditional small group. Sunday school was a traditional small group. We're also starting two or three other Sunday school classes at the 10 o'clock hour to try to do a better job of discipleship, and we feel Sunday morning is the best time to do discipleship. It's the time people respond to it the best. So we're going to have a non-traditional model here, and we're going to have two or three other classes that are non-traditional small group models. We have copies of the email out here because we don't have the best email list. If you didn't get the email, it's probably because we don't have your email address. Give it to us, and we'll do a better, add it to the list. But we're doing this because one of the primary purposes of the church is to make disciples. To make a disciple, you first got to be a believer. And then we teach you all that Jesus taught the disciples to observe it. That means to do it. And if we do that, the church grows spiritually. And if the church grows spiritually, it will grow numerically. Can't get around it. Because that means every church member grows spiritually, then we're doing more of the stuff Jesus asked us to do. By the way, he didn't ask us, he told us. Make disciples. That's our job. The first element of making a disciple is somebody has to believe. Once they believe, we can make a disciple. We can't make somebody believe, but we can share the story of Jesus. We can share how Jesus has changed our life. Life before Christ, life after Christ. We call that a testimony. We try to make everything complicated in the church. It's real simple. Life before Christ, life after Christ. If there's no difference, you might ought to wonder about how much Christ is important to you. There ought to be a change in your life. We do it. We share the gospel about how we treat people, how we love people. That's why we had a Sunday school class and other people going out. Remember when the storm was here a few weeks ago and everybody was scared? Some of y'all acting, we weren't scared. Yeah, you were. We were scared at some level anyway. We had groups going out to the hotels where we had evacuees from Florida. And some of them just knocked on them, welcomed them. We put meal cards to different restaurants around to let them know somebody cared about them. We'll probably never see those folks again. That's not the point. We showed them that God loves them, therefore we love them, and we're going to minister to them while they're evacuated because they were alone. They didn't know what was happening in the places they left behind. They didn't know what happened to their friends. They were concerned about that. So we, people from the church, went out and showed them that. The Holy Smokers cooked a meal at a TU soccer game, and we invited the evacuees to that to feed them. To show them that we cared about them, get their mind off of what was going on. What were we doing? Showing them the love of God. We all work to do this, and we're to do it together and individually. We, the church. But just as dynamic Christians work to see others believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, dynamic Christians focus on God's purpose for their life. Dynamic Christians focus on God's purpose for their life. Paul, you notice, Agrippa and Festus and all them were talking. They said, if this Paul fella hadn't asked to go to Rome, to see Caesar, we'd turn him loose. He's done nothing wrong to be in prison or put to death. But they didn't understand. Paul had been told he was supposed to go to Rome before Caesar, so he appealed to Caesar, and he went to Rome. The rest of the book of Acts tells about that journey, of how he got there. It's an interesting read. You ought to read the rest of the book of Acts. It's not many chapters, chapter 27, 28, 29. That's all there is to Acts. It tells about his travels. It's not like us going to Atlanta, getting on a plane, and flying to Rome in about 11 hours. He had to get on a boat, and they had to set sail, and they had to follow the winds, because what they call a ship, we would call a big boat. And they were dependent on the winds, and they had to harbor the winter because the storms came and all this stuff, and he gets shipwrecked, he gets bitten by a viper, and he lives. All this kind of stuff happens to him. I know I'm ruining this story for you, but you need to read it. It's interesting reading. It's good stuff. And Paul knew that God wanted him before Caesar, so he requested to go to Rome, and he went to Rome. And for 2 years, he rented the place, 2+ years, he rented the place because they trusted him. He was there because he appealed to Caesar. Festus and Agrippa had already told him, we'd let him go, but he appealed to you, so we sent him up there. And Caesar had a busy schedule, so it took him a couple years for Caesar to get around to him. And so while he was up there, he witnessed for Christ for 2+ years. That was what he was supposed to do. When he appeared before Caesar, he witnessed to Christ. Eventually, they put him to death. They killed him. He was a martyr for the faith. And some of you could say, well, that going to Rome wasn't too smart. Well, no, it's what God wanted. God didn't want him to die, but he wanted him to go to see Caesar and witness for him. And he did. Had a man in the church I knew in Texas, and he was some big zec in this big conglomerate, and he kept sharing about how he didn't believe in drinking alcohol. He didn't think it was good for anybody, and he was over a company, a restaurant chain that... big chain that sold alcohol, and he kept asking God to take that away from him. And one day his boss called him in and said, well, we're moving you from this division to this division, and the division wasn't as important as the division he had. And he said, he sort of got down in the mouth about it, and then it hit him one day, well, you big dummy, you're not over anybody selling alcohol now, and that's what you asked God to do, and now you're going to be mad at God for he did what you asked him to do. What a big dummy I was, he said. Because he felt he shouldn't be doing that. What's God's purpose for your life? I'm not necessarily saying you're called to full-time ministry. I was an engineer turned preacher. I know you're waiting for me to learn how to preach, but I'll get there someday. But you see, I wrestled with that from high school on. And it took me a while I was working at Frito-Lay in Dallas to realize that God was calling me to the ministry. And I started seminary. My mom was funny. She said, you sure you want to do that? You went to Georgia Tech. What's the matter with you? You're not going to make that kind of money. And I said, but Mom, that's what I'm supposed to do. Okay, I'll pray about it. Why? Because she was concerned about me. Because she knew what preachers went through. I mean, I know y'all think we work 1 hour a week. I tell people, y'all don't pay attention. I got to at least give me credit for 3 hours. I had 3 morning services. But you see, Paul understood God's purpose for life. It took me a long while for me to realize what God was calling me to. What's God's purpose for your life? Are you focusing on it? Doesn't mean you're going to be a minister, a paid minister. Every Christian is a minister, by the way. It means, how are you going to use your job to witness for Christ? The people you encounter. How do you minister to the people that are your next-door neighbors and not your next-door neighbors? Those people who are neighbors that you see in the grocery store because they shop about the same time you shop, or at the gas station when you go pump the gas because you go about the same time. Most of us are creatures of habit, and you run into these people. You don't really know them. Do you treat them like you know Christ Jesus? Do you love them? When you're at a football game, would anybody know you're a Christian? Or do you use that colorful language that Christians aren't supposed to use? What's God's
Purpose for what? Your life. Are you focusing on it? That can change over time. We don't have many 75-year-old youth ministers because they would kill the youth and the youth would kill them. Y'all laugh. How many of y'all worked the lock-in? I personally believe there's a hot place somewhere for whoever came up with lock-ins. I used to work lock-ins. I used to do youth ministry. And when I did a lock-in, no youth went to sleep because if I couldn't sleep, neither could they. And if you fell asleep on me, you might get a face full of water. And they'd say, what are you doing, preacher? I said, you can't go to sleep. I can't go to sleep. You can't either. You're young. You're going to go home and go to sleep. I got stuff to do when we leave here. Why? It can change over time. What's God's purpose for your life? But serving Him is never going to change. If you're a believer, you're supposed to serve Him. How you serve Him might change over time, but you're supposed to serve Him for the rest of your life. And it's a joy to serve our Savior for our lifetime. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege of serving You. We thank You that we can be a disciple because we're believers, and may we share with others that they might be believers too, and may we focus on Your purpose for our life. It's in Your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.